You know, we've talked a lot about ChatGPT and the AI platform that enables it to, well, I don't know, think about as quick as anybody can, put together any type of information you want to put together. And we've talked a lot about it in the context of, like, schools and whether or not they're policing the work that students are doing to make sure that they're not just going to one of these online platforms, these AI platforms, and basically skirting their work. Something I never would have done, Sean. Never would have done that. Ever. Ever.
Never.
Ever. But I definitely would have. And the great part about this is, what other applications are there? Great, scary, I don't know, however you want to put it. But there is an opportunity here that perhaps this technology is used in the workplace. And that's where Joel Patterson steps in. He's a workplace expert who heads up the Vested Group, and he joins us this morning on the Paul W. Smith Show. Joel, nice to have you with us. What is the future of AI, of a ChatGPT in the workplace? How would companies be able to utilize that for their benefit?
Well, good morning, and let me just tell you what I did this morning to prepare for today. I went to ChatGPT. And I said, give me some discussion points, a list specifically about how ChatGPT can act as someone's supervisor. And it came back with a list of 10 items, and it says things like, how can ChatGPT help with training and onboarding new employees? How can it be fair and consistent? I mean, it can create these lists for you. The trick is that you've got to view these things as a data point and another source, but not as gospel. I think a lot of people get wrapped around the axle on well, what if it tells me something wrong? Or what if it's just got some unintentional bias in it? You know, you see people having arguments with their ChatGPT prompt and claiming that it's racist and things like that. But you've got to look at these things as it's just another way to capture information to help you. Maybe if you've got emails or marketing copy that you're trying to create, you know, rewriting the same email is a pretty common use of it, because how many times have you had to do that and you rewrite it because you think it needs to sound differently? Well, you can just give that to ChatGPT and it'll rewrite it for you. So it's really about finding ways to allow it to help your job or make your job simpler, more effective, but it absolutely is not a replacement for a supervisor or for you, for that matter. Not yet anyway.
Thank God.
I think that, well, maybe for you guys. I don't know. Maybe it's there.
No, Joel,
but for most people, it's not quite there.
I'm fascinated to hear you say that, because I think in some ways we become such a black and white society. I use analytics, whether it be in sports or otherwise. There are people that treat it as the gospel, plain and simple, and there are always going to be exceptions. And this kind of sounds like that's the case. Don't treat this as the gospel. Use it as something to perhaps enhance what is already there.
Yeah, for another way to look at this is if you had a presentation or something that you were putting together and you had several different sources that you wanted to be able to refer to but not copy, you can feed all of those to ChatGPT and get a summarization of what they're actually trying to say. And that kind of stuff, I mean, that can save significant time and effort. And when you look at it that way and you get away from the things that like the lack of context and the bias and the misuse that it can create, I mean, you got to know that stuff is there, but if you get away from that and really focus on the tidbits where it can help your day, it's remarkable. I mean, the amount of things that you can ask it, especially these days, because if you don't know, it just went through an upgrade. And so it's essentially connected to live data now. So pretty much anything that you want to ask it, you can ask. And it's going to give you some kind of context around what that is. I mean, here's another one. You can come up with this list and then you can say, hey, give me that list, but say it in the tone of Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction. It will do that, and it will be good. So there's lots of ways to make it creative and fun, not just this scary AI that's out there to take your job.
Do you feel that companies are willing to take this next step into AI, as Sean mentioned, maybe use it as an accompaniment to some of the infrastructure that companies have built in place? Or do you feel like they just want to stay hands off? They don't want any part of this because they've got something in place that works already. How do you think they view this?
I think that a lot of people are nervous. you know, and because they don't understand the technology, they don't understand where they're going with it. And I think that's fair, right? I mean, there's lots of unknowns here. The way I choose to look at this is there's nothing I can do to prevent this from happening. And if I can dig into this and find ways to make our employees a little bit happier or a little bit more satisfied because we've reduced some of those mundane tasks, it's well worth it. I'd encourage all businesses to take a few minutes just to try to find a way to use it. As an example, we're using it in marketing a lot already. I mean, when we're talking about a marketing, an email campaign or something we're putting out there, or just trying to find different ways to be unique in how we communicate messages. It allows you to really kind of look at things from a different perspective and then kind of use them as your own. Because it's not stealing anything. It's not just plagiarizing things. It's creating new text that you can use as your own.
How big is this going to get, Joel? Do you think this is, you know, perhaps the next big thing? I mean, if you were to gaze in the crystal ball, is this something you see being prevalent everywhere?
I do. I think it's already on us. I feel like the rapid advancement over the last, say, 6 months even is really driving us to a rate of change that I don't know if we've seen before in a new technology like this, and how accessible it is, how anybody can go out there and try it out. And I encourage people to. I mean, it's free for everybody. There is a paid version, but you don't really need it. And I just think it's a matter of people learning how to use it, how to form the questions, how to form the whatever the data is that you're putting into the system. Once we've got that nailed, I think that it's limitless, really. I mean, there's so many different opportunities to leverage it. But again, I go back to, you got to use it as a data point. It's not everything to everybody, and you got to be a little bit cautious about how you use it right now. But by all means, give it a go.
We got just a minute left here. How do you think employees view this type of technology? Is it something that makes them skittish, or is it something that they welcome?
Well, I think, again, it's a mixed bag. But employees, if you think about spell check, if you think about grammar check and those kind of, that's a form of AI that we've been using for many years, and people don't even think twice about it. And I envision that we'll get to that point with this as well. But you know, as it gets integrated with other things, like how Microsoft is already integrated with their search tool, we'll be using it even more and may not even know it. But it's definitely here to stay.
Mm. Interesting stuff. Appreciate the time and insight, Joel Patterson. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Got to take a break. More to come on the Paul W. Smith Show next, right here on WJR. 8 o'clock hour coming up. By the way, we do have Tom Izzo coming up at 8:35. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't go anywhere.